Welcome to another edition of TJ Slideway Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. I'm your host, TJ Buffenbarger, joining you live from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Of course, all of our guests tonight will appear on the Rocket Headers Hotline. And what a show we have lined up tonight. Kind of an interesting mix of drivers and such. Damian Gardner going to join us, the world's fastest sprint car driver now after his adventure over at the Bonneville Salt Flats. So he'll talk to us about that. Also, late addition, Brian Gerster going to join us to talk about his victory at the King of Wings on Sunday at the Winchester Speedway. And then Mike Strievel from Sprints on Dirt. We meant to do this as a podcast, but we just didn't know the connect, so we'll do it on the show tonight to talk about the upcoming Wing Sprint Car Race at Berlin Raceway on the dirt. 5,000 to win, 300 to start. Should be a great show. Lots of neat stuff on the program tonight. We're going to have Damian on here in a little bit. Of course, this is our first live show since we got back from Knoxville, Iowa, our first Knoxville Nationals in 10 seasons. Hard to believe it had been since 2003 we had been to the Knoxville Nationals. Of course, we had some technical issues last week with RacesOnTheWeb.com, but we have all those worked out now, and we are ready to rock and roll with another edition of TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Of course, and we want to thank Verwayne Greenhoe for all his hard work getting our technical problems worked out last week. And eventually what we're going to do is the show we were going to produce for our Knoxville Post show, you're going to get as a podcast later in the week. So we just got these technical issues out on Sunday and didn't really have time to put together the Knoxville show. So we're going to do that a little later on so you can listen to it. Also, we still have to produce our fan forum, our little 500 fan forum we recorded at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. That will be a neat deal. We're going to actually present that as a tape broadcast as well, so you're going to be able to listen in on that if you weren't able to be there. And what a neat fan forum that was. I have to thank Tony Elliott and Carrie and Max Dolder and Dave Argerite. They did a great job as our panel on that. And I think we convinced a couple people to go to the race next year. Hopefully some of the Knoxville faithful will see the same attraction to the little 500 we do and decide they want to go do it. So we'll see how that goes. But once again, Damian Gardner, Brian Gerster, and Mike Strievel will be our guests tonight. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to try to get Damian on the line to talk about his adventures over at the Bonneville Salt Flat. So we're going to take our first commercial break. But race fans, don't forget that on Labor Day weekend, you're going to be able to watch live sprints on dirt racing right here on RacesOnTheWeb.com, live video and audio, depending on which one you want, for free from Crystal Motor Speedway, Saturday of Labor Day weekend, the third and final appearance of the sprints on dirt at the Crystal Motor Speedway. Of course, every Saturday night, Crystal Motor Speedway featured right here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. We're going to take a break and come back with Damian Gardner. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
DJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Core Pack Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. And my next guest just got back, and it's the first time I've ever got to say this. It might be the only time, because I think this is one of the only guys I could think of that would even attempt this. From the Bonneville Salt Flats, where he attempted to become the world's fastest sprint car driver, and Damian Gardner joining us. First of all, how much fun did you have over there at Bonneville?
It was tremendous fun. It was a lot of work, but once we got there, it was just it was fun. The environment, the people, like the Bonneville people, the staff, and everybody that runs it. You know, they welcomed us from the beginning. They told us it would be difficult, and it was, but it was a lot of fun. They helped us out there the whole time, and just the whole environment, the scenery, the salt at night and the morning was fantastic.
Oh, my first question's one of the most obvious ones is, let's go from the beginning. How was this brought to you? Who approached you about doing this, and how did it all come together?
I was at a PRI show, and, one of my sponsors, Pat Keogh, he passed away last year. So by the end of the year, I knew I was going to have to find something else, something to do, different to do next the following year. So, I was just sitting there. I really didn't have a job. I didn't know what I was going to be doing for 2013. So we were sitting there. I was kind of like flirting around, just trying to figure something with sprint cars that I could do different than no one had done, you know. And I was sitting on the Streamliner with the Speed Demon Streamliner with Steve Watt at Maxwell Industries. And he's like, yeah, I was just telling him my deal that I wanted to do something different. I didn't know what. And he's like, hey, man, well, why don't we take your car to Bonneville, you know, because he works on the Speed Demon every year. And, I said, yeah. I said, let's do it. I said, I got a pavement car sitting there. It's not doing anything. I said, I'll, put that in on the project. And we just ran around to all our vendors, and everybody thought it was a great idea. You know, Weld and Franklin and all these guys, Beast Chassis, they all were on board and said, let's do it. And so we came home and just got started on it.
And how many changes did you have to make to the car to make this thing go to Bonneville? If you look at the pictures on TJsHighways.com, you'll see you guys had to build a custom body for it. But what else did you have to change to the race car to make it go straight for that distance at that speed?
Yeah, I mean, we basically just kind of narrowed everything up, you know, because obviously, you know, all the stuff, you know, drag is the biggest concern. So, you know, and you're not going sideways at all, so your typical pavement car is offset. So we just, you know, evened everything up, made everything symmetrical, and, you know, obviously we had to put on the Bonneville tires that are, you know, that are able to go that fast, and had to have, you know, special axles made, and, yeah, and then just special wheels. Weld made us some special wheels. Franklin made this special axle. Shaver got us a motor, you know, that was going to be more for there. But not a whole lot of special stuff. You just had to, it was just a lot of work to cut and make the frame, you know, what we needed.
Of course, Damian Gardner joining us, and the world's fastest sprint car driver. At one point, you got over to 194 miles an hour. The goal was 200. You didn't quite make it there, but it wasn't from a lack of effort. You guys really worked on this thing quite a bit, and you actually had a couple of spin-outs in the middle of the deal as well.
Yeah, we were like, I think, you know, that day we got a late start because I raced the weekend before, and little did I know, but it's typically like a dirt track, you know. I mean, as the week goes on, and by the end of each day, the track gets worse, you know. It gets slushed up, kind of, it's almost like snow a little bit. It gets kind of slushed up and gets rutsed. And so the idea is to go in the morning and then obviously go as soon as you can. But, you know, made it more difficult to go 200. So we're going like 194, 190, and I think when I went 190, I had a really sketchy run that I kind of was amazed at how hard I had to drive and saw, you know, just saw the wheel to keep it going when I went 190. And that's when I began to realize like 200 was going to be pretty difficult. But, you know, we were able to go 194 the next day, went in the morning, and it was better. And, you know, 200 is reachable. We left a little bit on the table there, but that would give us something to go back for and give us something to shoot for next time we're there.
As a driver, how is it different compared to what you do, you know, to drive that thing down the salt in a straight line? But it, when you make it, you say it like that, it sounds easy, but it's definitely not from what you've told us. But how is it different to drive that car that fast in a straight line versus trying to get it around the oval track? I mean, were there anything that applied to it, or was it just completely different?
Nah, it's pretty much completely different. You know, everything like on the dirt we do and stuff is like micromanaging. You know, you're always constantly like making little adjustments, and you know, on the salt, you know, it's all long. Everything's long. You know, the drifts, the getting sideways is really long. You cover a lot of ground in a short amount of time, you know, because you're just sustaining that speed for miles, you know. I mean, you go every mile, you're going faster and faster. And, you know, it takes 5 miles to get the whole thing done. So the drift, you know, instead of getting a little sideways, you drift more, and the car might just shift, like, you know, 20 or 30 feet, like, at one time. And you kind of just make little adjustments to kind of bring it back into the track. But it's not a lot like anything like that, but still a sprint car.
That's pretty cool, Damian Gardner. And just to clarify, you said this is your pavement sprint car, the one you've run at like Winchester and other places, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the basic frame is basically just the same frame as a pavement sprint car. I mean, obviously, we altered a little bit to make it go to Bonneville, you know, turn it, let's per se, into a Bonneville sprint car. But it started out and pretty much is, with not too much work, could go right back to a pavement car.
That's pretty incredible to think about that. Now, spinning out at Bonneville at, you know, 190 plus miles an hour, how is that different than spinning out at your typical short track?
You know, typically you spin out, you know, when you spin out at a little local dirt track, you know, there's a lot of stuff to run into, and it's all tight spins per se, and here it's just really long drifts. Like you spin, you're more like kind of, you only spin a couple times, but you know, the car is more kind of gliding around. So, you know, we were fortunate it didn't really hook the ground or anything and flip over. But once you do it one time, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of amusing the next time. So, you know, you still kind of drive it. You try to, you know, you try to, when the car reaches around and heads back forward, you know, you try to drive it out of it, you know. Not to say you need to, but, you know, just being a driver, that's what you do.
In fact, one time they said the safety crew went out after you and you were driving off, from what I heard.
Yeah, they just want you to stop, a little did I know. But the first time I just spun out and I spun it back around, and then I just had it back and I let go of the brake and got it back started, and I drove back to, like, the work area. They have, like, a pickup area. and they informed me that they wanted me to stop where I was at. So
yeah, that's pretty amazing. Damian Gardner, yeah. Talking about his Bonneville experience. Compared to what you thought it was going to be like, was it anything like you thought it would be like going there, or was it when you got there, was it way different?
No, I mean, it was a lot like I thought, in a ways of just the event and the people around it. You know, I had been to El Mirage, so, you know, just how the people were and so forth. The only thing I didn't know, it was kind of like a, you know, when we first got there, there was a lot of naysayers, per se, because the car is so short and so forth, and it'd be hard to go 200. And it was kind of funny, because by the end, I think a lot of the people around us and the SCTA people, and they were all kind of behind us and wanting us to get it done. They weren't familiar with and one day we made four runs in like 3 hours. We just kept going back to the starting line and get going again. And they were pretty unfamiliar with that, so it was kind of funny. They were making references to we didn't know that we were at the salt. They thought we were at the dirt track. You know, we could just get back in line and go again. So it was pretty fun.
Damian Gardner, with that, you know, is this going to be on the table for 2014? Are you guys going to make another run at this?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, hey.
But with the.
Yeah, no, it was, it's going to be on the table. That was kind of our plan. We knew it was going to be a 2-year project. And, that was our plan going in. You know, the guys, it's me and Steve Watt and Max Industries and Loud Pedal Productions and Mike Russ at surfandsprint.com. So we basically, the four guys got together and we're filming it and we're going to have like a documentary in the end about it. And, you know, we basically said it would take 2 years to kind of make it what we want. And, just so happens, you know, we left, 6 miles an hour on the table, so we're going to have to go back and get it.
Yeah, this is something to aim for next year. Of course, you went right back and raced Paris on Saturday at your normal gig, the USAC CRA Sprint Car Series. What was the reaction like to fellow competitors and fans coming back from Bonneville to go to Paris?
Oh, man, they were excited. They wanted to know all about it, know what it was like. And the fans were really, you know, excited about it after. And they're wanting to get video and all that kind of stuff, so we'll have some more stuff coming out pretty soon. But they were excited and supportive, and just excited that I had taken a sprint car and gone to Bonneville and kind of per se represented this, you know, the sprint car world.
And of course, you had a great sponsor come on board too. How did Go Rhino get involved with the program?
Well, they're a buddy of mine, this guy Jeff Media. He came on board, and wanted to help me out and try to get me going. And he got with Mike at Go Rhino, and they're a truck company, makes trucks parts, accessories, and they're trying to expand and do some stuff. And it was kind of last minute, and they just decided, hey, you know, let's come on board and we'll help them out a little bit and maybe try to build a relationship and hopefully do some more stuff in the future. So we both got them. They came on board late, and we did what we could for them, and we're just trying to feel each other out and see if he likes what we do, and if he does, maybe we can build a relationship out of it down the road. But, you know, they make great truck products, and we were happy to be associated with them.
If you had to look back at it right now, what's the one lasting memory you're going to take from your first Bonneville experience?
Oh, man. I don't know. I guess just everybody's hard work and then what we did accomplish. And I guess, you know, I guess per se what it did mean to people, you know, I mean, it seems like everyone enjoyed it and you know, I never thought of it as taking a sprint car to another, I don't know, another racing kind of thing, be it Bonneville. And people are excited about that and they just, you know, appreciated the fact that I took our sport somewhere else and brought shine. And then the Bonneville people, they appreciated me bringing sprint cars to that world, you know. So it went both ways, and I guess I just didn't realize any of that would happen. And then it was cool just to be able to go and try to work hard at trying to achieve 200, and obviously that would be an ongoing process.
Well, just so you know, it was the most read story item of last week, hands down. I mean, more than World of Outlaws than anything else. So the interest just blew us away as well. So, Damian,
yeah.
It was awesome to see you out there, and congratulations on everything you accomplished. And man, we're really looking forward to seeing you actually hit 200 next year.
Yeah, that's the goal. I really think it's realistic, and that'll be the plan. We're already going to start working here next week and get things together and go back and do it again.
All right, Damian. Well, thanks you for taking time out to join us, and best of luck with that. And also, the whole USAC CRA thing you have left to do too. So best of luck with that as well.
No, I appreciate it, and we really appreciate what you guys do for us, and getting the sport and our names out there. We appreciate it. Just want to say first thanks to Scott, the realtor there. He really did a good job at getting the word out and showing everybody what it was all about. And Mike, Loud Pedal, these guys really did a good job and just presenting to everybody like yourself. So we really appreciate it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what the Loud Pedal guys come out with this. I mean, I've seen the Sprint Week videos and everything. I can't even imagine what this thing's going to be like.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be nice, man. Those guys do class one work.
Oh, I agree. So, Damian, best of luck, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, that's Damian Gardner, and the first time I met Damian was actually displaying a car outside of the Ultimate Challenge 1 year, or the Front Row Challenge 1 year before the Ultimate Challenge. Damian was out there promoting the sport, and he's one of the guys that's not afraid to get his hands dirty and do something different, and he's wired a little bit different. And we were talking off the air about how much fun it was to spin out and how fast it was. And he's like, it's just part of the gig. I said, yeah, no two-seater Bonneville rides for me. I'm okay with that. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Brian Gerster about another kind of crazy thing, running wing sprint cars at Winchester. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you
can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpax Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com. And we go from one high-speed sprint car to another. And this high-speed sprint car and its driver are kind of a unique story. And they won last week at Winchester Speedway on Sunday. And fresh off that victory, Brian Gerster joins us on the line. Brian, thanks for taking time to join us tonight.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. It's kind of a hard act to follow coming in behind Damien like that with his Bonneville story, but we'll do the best we can to entertain your listeners.
Well, I think it shouldn't be too hard when we talk about who I jokingly call him the Mad Professor, your car owner there. How old is that car that you're driving right now?
The Hoffman family, Richard Hoffman, Rob Hoffman down there from around the, the Cincinnati area, built that car. I think it was around 1990, 91, somewhere in that time frame. Steve Butler drove the car and actually won the Joe James Pat O'Connor race with that when it was a USAC show, way back kind of in the day. And, Richard Hoffman purchased a car from him I don't know what the time frame was that he purchased the car, but he got it from them and has had it for quite a while. The frame itself has been around a little while. The Hoffmans, built a good race car when they started off, but I know Richard Hoffman, is proud of that. But, Dick Myers has taken the thing, and there's been a little bit of evolution with it since it's been in his hands. And then, obviously with Ram Engineering, his engineering and shock company that he has, the running gear and the motor from Gertie and things like that are all, kind of up to date. So, the frame's got some time on it, but there aren't too many other components that are on it that are from that original iteration, but it's unusual in this day and age of racing to have a frame stay around that long. And so there's a lot of history there, and, it's won some races without the wing, and it's won some races with the wing, too.
And there's been a litany of drivers in it, and how did Dick call you to get in the car? When did that all occur?
We'd kind of had, a relationship, just knowing each other and seeing each other at the racetrack and so forth, and a little bit earlier in my career, years back when there were more car owners and drivers, and drivers were looking for cars to drive and so forth. It's not as much that way today, but he was one of the guys that owned a race car and hired drivers, and I first drove for him at some non-wing stuff. We were doing a lot of non-wing racing and, dirt and pavement both, but, doing all three of the USAC schedules. And, he was going to some of those non-wing races. So we ran a couple shows for him at Anderson probably in about, 2004 or 5, somewhere in there. And that was right about the same time he was kind of getting started with his relationship with Cameron Dodson. And, they started running some wing races and got on a roll there and were running really good and actually kind of stuck with that to run for the championship. So we didn't have an opportunity to get back in the car for a while because, Cameron and him, they kind of concentrated on the wing stuff, but I kept badgering him about driving for him and trying some wing racing. So finally, toward the end of, I think it was 2007, we jumped in the car with a wing up at Berlin. It was the first time I drove for him, and just needed to kind of figure out how to drive with the wing. And I think we were quick time, but kind of got buried in the pack on the invert, and I didn't really know how to work my way through the crowd there with the wing and all that stuff. So I think we ran sixth or something, but went to Angola the next night and were quick time again, but learned some stuff the previous night, and we won that second night out. So we won two more races after that in that season of 2007. And then it took a while for us to get back together a couple of years ago with the Must-See series, and, the Bristol deal was coming up, and I kept bugging him about, you know, getting some wing racing going again so we could, you know, had our eye on going to Bristol, and, you know, we finally got together and went and did it, and, we were pretty fortunate. We won a couple races that year, and then we went down and won the show at Bristol, and we've been able to stay together since then, and this year, it's been good for us. I mean, he's got a really small operation, and he funds the deal out of his pocket, him and Deborah. So, you know, we've been fortunate. We've been able to go to all the must-see races, and now with one race left, we got a shot at at least got a shot at running for the championship. So that's cool for us.
And, you know, Dick Myers is really a different cat. I mean, he's one of the most intelligent guys I've ever seen at a short track working. What is it like to work with someone like that who's got pages of algorithms and notebooks and stuff, and it's very technical like that?
Well, I mean, you know, he's way smarter than I am. So, you know, I don't get in there and try to figure out all the different things he's figuring out. You know, we've both got jobs to do, and he does his very well, and I do the best I can to do my part. And, the biggest thing that we work on is, you know, just communicate, and I try to let him know, you know, what I need the race car to do and kind of where we need to improve on the racetrack with the car, handling-wise and so forth. But, I don't get all into the technical side of it with him on, you know, springs and shocks and, you know, all that different thing like that. You know, he's a mature guy and has been around the sport a long time, and I'm a little older driver than what most of them are out there, so I'm kind of mature as well. So we're both very calm and even keel, and I do all the my own work and with my dad and the guys that help me with my car when I'm, you know, non-wing racing and so forth. So it's not that I don't understand kind of how to work on the race car, but you know, I've never tried to set up or tune a wing car. You know, all my experience is with a non-wing car, and I recognize the fact that he's got tons and tons of experience with that wing car. So, you know, we just go in there and try to do our job and communicate the best we can to him of what we need. And you know, he gives us 100% every time we go to the racetrack. And, you know, about 99% of the time we're spot on. And, you know, it's just up to me to try to do my part.
And I've witnessed that combination being spot on a few times. And the only way I could describe it to somebody is when you're watching it from the outside, it almost looks cartoonish. I mean, the car runs so good. What is it like behind the wheel when that thing is on to drive that car?
Well, I mean, you know, it's still hard to do. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, the must-see series, you know, over the last couple of years has really developed into, you know, kind of the premier wing sprint car series. And in my opinion, anyway, you know, the guys that run that have all got good cars and good motors. And, you know, there's a lot of talented people there, you know, and the competition's really deep. So, you know, there's a half a dozen or eight cars some nights that have got a shot at winning when you roll through the gate. So, you know, it's just sort of a testament to how much Dick puts into making the car handle right, you know, and he's got his own, like I said, engineering company that, you know, does a lot of work with a lot of different kinds of race cars, you know, whether it be late models, super modified sprint cars. You know, it's not just building shocks. It's kind of engineering the whole race car, and he does a great job at that and draws from a lot of that knowledge from other places and tries to apply that to the car that we run. And, you know, Gertie Engines do a really good job for us. You know, we've got a really strong motor, and, you know, we don't have a lot of spares and a lot of extra parts, and we don't have spare cars and that sort of thing. But, you know, when we roll out to run the feature, you know, everybody's only got one of everything, and I feel like, you know, ours is as good as anybody's. So, you know, we just keep our head down and you know, do our thing, and a lot of times it works out okay, and the nights that it doesn't, we try to learn from what we didn't do right, and we go back the next time and try to improve on it.
And I noticed this year, it seems like you'd mentioned the competition getting deeper in this must-see series, and I think it's really shown this year. I mean, you guys, every one of those races, whoever's won them, has really had to earn them this year. And what do you attest to the depth of this field, and why is it getting deeper?
Well, you know, it's a combination of things. You know, the must-see series, you know, have got TV exposure for one thing, you know, and that's a huge thing in this day and age. A lot of the teams, you know, us included, haven't probably been able to capitalize on that like we would like to, you know, being on MAV TV and having, you know, kind of a national forum to showcase what we do. You know, we've got to work a little bit harder on the business end of it and get with the right folks so we can take advantage of what Jim Hanks has put together for us with his TV package. So that's a plus. You know, you've got a guy like Davey Hamilton that's in the series, you know, with multiple cars, you know, and Brian Olsen, you know, the 7 team of the Hellbirds, you know, Don Wilshie with his bio-based U.S. team. You know, there's a lot of good teams that are very well funded. You know, Davey's done a great job with his stuff and using his IndyCar experience, I think, to probably, you know, put together a package that's probably got the most national marketing type sponsors involved. And some of the rest of us need to, you know, myself included, you know, as the driver and kind of the spokesman for the team, you know, we need to work a little bit harder and maybe smarter about being able to capitalize on what we've got with the series. But, you know, the purses are, you know, are better than the other places that you can run. American Racer offers us a tire that's a little less expensive and durable that, you know, you can, you know, get a few more nights out of, or at least heat races and things like that. So, I mean, overall, I mean, the purse is better. You've got TV, you know, your tire bill is a little less, and there's just a lot of good things going on there. So, you know, when you have, you know, like BioBase and Turtle Wax and Royal Oak and True Fuel and those kind of people, you know, at the top of the list, those are all, you know, big national type companies. So, you know, we've just got to continue to, you know, as a race team, capitalize on what we have in front of us. And that's why everybody's kind of congregated. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of good cars there and they're fast. And when you know, nobody's going to dominate. And when you do win a few races, you feel good about what you've done.
Brian Gerster joining us. Of course, Sunday, you managed to win the King of Wings at Winchester. And I imagine winning at Winchester Speedway probably never gets old. Winning alone never gets old, but especially at a place with that much history and stuff. And you managed to do it again on Sunday.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, we've been working awful hard to try to win a sprint car race at Winchester. You know, we've got a USAC National Midget win there. But, you know, it was 18 years ago that I won the midget race there at you know, and it was, you know, a live, you know, thunder race on ESPN and so forth. And, you know, we probably had 3 different times, you know, one with the non-wing deal with the USAC series and then a couple with the wing that races that maybe got away from us. So, you know, we were plenty fast yesterday and kind of just managed our race. And, you know, the 7 car had a little bit of trouble there. You know, I think we were in a pretty good position, irregardless of his issue. But unfortunately, he wasn't able to finish, and that helped us a little bit, made it a little bit easier on us. So, you know, we'll take advantage of that, and you know, just move on down the road. But it was nice to finally get a sprint car win there. You know, it's guys like Tom Bigelow and you know, Rich Vogler and all the great racers that have run at that place. You know, that have won sprint car races. You know, it was cool just to add our name to that list.
And what you've done plenty of both. What's the biggest difference running a wing sprint car at Winchester versus the non-wing car?
You know, they're just different animals. You know, the non-wing car, you know, really, even as big and fast as Winchester is, you know, you've just really got to be a lot more patient and smooth with it. You know, you just don't have near the downforce in the wing car. You know, the line around the racetrack's a little bit different. You know, the downforce with the wing and so forth, your driving technique winds up being a little bit different. So, you know, they're both sprint cars and they're both really fast, but they're just, they just take a little bit different technique. And, you know, every time you get in the race car, you learn something. And every, you know, we learned a little bit yesterday that hopefully will make us a little bit better when we go back next year. So you just, you know, you only go there a couple of times a year, so it's not like a local track where you can go run every Friday night and figure stuff out real quick. You kind of got to keep your notebook, and even as a driver, and understand what worked last time and make sure you don't forget it and you apply it the next time you go there.
Brian Gerster joining us, and championship coming up this weekend at Berlin Raceway, and you guys are going to be up there, and that track offers a totally different set of challenges to Winchester. You know, the shape of it's very unusual. What's the biggest challenge for you as a driver getting around Berlin Raceway?
Well, you know, Berlin's it's unique. I mean, it's kind of circle and shape. You know, by the time you get going, you know, it's kind of like a ball on a string. You've really got to just make a big circle out of it, and you know, the car's got to handle good. You know, motors are always nice to have, but you know, that's not one of the places where you're necessarily maxed out engine wise. So, you know, handling is the real key to that place. We were fortunate enough that we've run there a couple of times with the wing, you know, and we've got a win up there. So, but we haven't run, you know, up there with the Must-See series. So, you know, we missed that show last year. So we'll just, you know, Dick's got a really good notebook on the place. He's run a lot of races there, and I've run with him up there a couple of times. And then, you know, we've got a pretty good notebook with, you know, what to do, we think, with the American Racer tire. So we'll just, you know, go up there and give it our best shot. You know, we're behind in this deal, and we've been playing catch-up all summer long. And so there's really no pressure on us. I mean, we're just going to go up there and do like we've been doing, you know, all summer, and just try to race as hard as we can every lap we're on the track. And at the end of the night, we'll just see where it falls. I mean, the 17's been strong all summer, and they're the guys we got to go beat. And, you know, if we do it, then we earned it. And if we don't, then, you know, we'll have to come back and try next year.
And one more question for you. Friday night, fans got to hear you on the microphone at Gassy I-69 Speedway, and I've had the pleasure of hearing you do this a couple times. You do a really nice job with it, and how much do you enjoy that side of it? I mean, you don't see many drivers venture into that where they do a lot of some media stuff like that and such, but you've done it pretty much. You've been on ESPN throughout your career and stuff. How'd you get started in that, and how much do you enjoy that aspect of the racing world when you get to do that?
You know, I enjoy that. We first got the opportunity to be on ESPN. You know, I got hurt toward the end of 97 and missed about the first half of the 98 season. And, you know, we had positioned ourselves to where we had a ride in the midget sprint car and Silver Crown series. All three of them were going to try to run all the races in all three divisions leading into 98. And that stuff kind of fell apart when I got hurt. But early in that season, you know, Greg Oldham, who was the producer of those Thunder races, worked for the Lingner Group here in Indianapolis, you know, invited me to come in and sit in the booth for a heat race, you know, with Bob Jenkins and Larry Rice, and just kind of give my two cents, so to speak, and because I was sitting out, I couldn't race. And, you know, it went well, and I actually got to stay in the booth with them the whole evening and finish off the night and kind of comment on the races and so forth. And when the evening was over with, you know, Greg said, hey, if you're interested, you know, we'd like to have you come back and do this, you know, for a full night and actually work for us, you know, be a pit reporter or be in the booth as a color analyst or something. So, you know, a few weeks later, I was standing in the booth with Bob Jenkins as a color analyst at IRP doing a sprint car race. And, I mean, you know, Bob Jenkins is, you know, one of the ultimate professionals as far as this deal goes. And I started out, in my opinion, right at the very top working with him, you know, in the booth. So that was a lot of fun, and I, you know, kind of in between rides and so forth like that, when the Thunder deal was still going on, you know, we did some pit reporter work and worked with Ray Dunlap one evening, and, you know, and Gary Lee, Larry Rice, those guys and stuff. So it was a really cool experience. So that's kind of where it got started. And, you know, as the TV deal went away, you know, we hadn't done much of it, but I was comfortable with that kind of work. And then Danny Williams and Stephanie Hastings, you know, asked, you know, they two of those guys, you know, guy and gal, work at Gas City, and they basically just asked a couple of years ago if I'd be interested in filling in when each one of them wanted an evening off, and I said sure. So, you know, I get up there between, you know, 4 and 8 times a year, maybe, when either one of them wants a night off. I mean, Stephanie was going to the Springfield Mile last weekend, so she wanted to leave on Friday, so she needed the night off. And Danny Williams took a night off earlier in the year to go to the IndyCar race at Iowa. So that's just what we do. We kind of fill in for them, and I enjoy doing that. And you know, that's a lot of fun. You know, I do a lot of spotting, not as much the last couple of years, but you know, the Derek Griffin won the CRA late model championship a couple of years ago, and you know, we spotted for him most of the season. So you know, kind of venturing out in some other things. I mean, I'm on kind of the tail end of my driving career probably, so if I'm going to maintain a presence in motorsports, it's going to have to be through, you know, being a spotter or being involved in the media side of it or something like that. So we're just making sure we, you know, find something that we like, a little niche, so we can stay in racing, you know, once we get out of the seat someday.
So we're not going to see you go Hank Lauer on us and 75 years old be pushing up to the starting line at Winchester.
No, I probably won't do that. I told my wife a long time ago that I probably wouldn't race past 40, and I'm like 44 right now. And we were at the must-see banquet a couple of years ago, and Hank came up, and she looked at me, and I said, I mean, he was like 71 at that point. I said, honey, that's going to be us in like 30 years. And she kicked me under the table so damn hard that, you know, I'm pretty sure that I better not, you know, stay in the seat of the race car that long. So, you know, we've still got some stuff we want to do, and I feel like we're competitive, so I'm not ready to jump out anytime soon. But I'm pretty sure that Hank's going to beat me by a good bit there on the driving career thing.
I think that goes for all of us. So, Brian Gerster, and one thing we talked about at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame during the Knoxville Nationals was the Little 500, and you compete in that every year. And I just wanted to ask you one question about it. If you had to tell someone why they should go to the Little 500, what would you tell them?
It's the coolest. To me, it's the coolest sprint car race in the world. You know, the Knoxville Nationals is a huge deal, and the Kings Royal and those really big, you know, winged races that they run with the World of Outlaw type guys. But the thing about the Little 500 is it's just so unique. You know, to run 500 laps around that place at Anderson Speedway, I mean, Rick Dawson's got, you know, just the neatest format right there that, you know, is on the planet, in my opinion. The live pit stops, you know, 33 cars, 11 rows of three, the whole, you know, ceremonies leading up to the race are very similar to that of the Indy 500. And, you know, in my mind, I'm an open wheel guy. I'm from the Indianapolis area. You know, the Indy 500 is the biggest race on the planet, and the Little 500 is the biggest sprint car race on the planet. So it's just, it's a neat deal. And if you're a sprint car fan, whether you like dirt or pavement or whatever, you know, you need to see it one time. And most people, once they've seen it, they want to go back and see it again and again. So, you know, it's a really cool deal. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you got to work really hard at it. And, you know, the program that I run there is my own, and we spend all year long getting ready for that one race. But if we could ever figure out a way to win that thing, you know, man, it would be completely the most awesome thing ever.
Brian Gerster, well, best of luck on Saturday. Thank you for taking time to join us, and we'll look forward to talking about that. Oh, geez, we actually lost him there. So we accidentally lost Brian because I had a itchy trigger finger, but best of luck to him, and we'll have to have him on again during the Little 500. Brian, sorry about that. I accidentally slipped. So the trigger finger went bad, and we lost Brian. But I'm telling you, he's just one of the neatest guys to talk to. And I knew that was going to go really well. I mean, Brian, I had two lines of notes for that interview. I knew that one was going to go good. I can't wait to have Brian on, especially right before the Little 500. I think he'll be a great guest for that, and he has a lot of passion for that race. But, man, he drives one of the coolest sprint cars in the world. I mean, that thing is just freakish to watch or go around a racetrack. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to cover the dirt side of Berlin that's coming up this fall with a 5,000 to win sprint car race. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Slide Race Live here on racesontheweb.com. And my next guest I've known for the better part of, I don't want to really say how many years now, because it would probably indict both of us on how old we really are. But Mike Strievel from Sprints on Dirt joining us, the Engine Pro Sprints on Dirt presented by ARP, with some big news officially announced when I was out at Knoxville. And Mike, you guys are going to Berlin Raceway.
How about that? And we don't need to put the asphalt tires on, so that's even better news. So there you go for the dirt fans out there. But, yeah, TJ, we've been working on it for over a year. Obviously, people might know the story that last year Berlin tried to put dirt, did put dirt on the first time ever in the 60-plus year history of the racetrack. He ran a Orlala late model show and one local show. But we tried to get involved with last year's program, and they were just not willing to bite off too much yet, making sure the track, it was properly working right and everything. So it did. And over the course of the spring, we thought we had a race. Then we didn't. Then they got busy with their schedule. I got busy with my season. And also, lo and behold, about the 1st of August, they said, hey, by the way, we need to get you guys on the schedule yet for this year. So we started scrambling for a date and came up with something there. And wham, bam, here we are, Tuesday, September 24th. We're at Berlin. And it's exciting enough that that side's there, but the fact that Berlin wanted to really get aggressive with the purse to make sure we draw the best drivers in the Midwest there, and that's what we've got with a 5,000 to win show, so pretty pumped up about it.
Yeah, I expected that, I'd probably written this possibility off for dead. We were just talking about off the air, and it happened. But then to hear they're paying $5,000 to win on this thing, I mean, it's getting late in the year, and there's going to be some guys looking for a paycheck there at the end of the year. It could be interesting to see who shows up.
Yeah, really, really much. That's what's exciting about it, because I had a couple proposals put together when they reached out again with the possibility of doing this. And if people don't know or not, a standard Sprints on Dirt show pays $1,200 to win and $250 to start. So here we're talking $5,000 to win and $300 to start. And literally, there's like $16,000 plus in the A-Main payout. So it's not just a top-heavy purse. It's a nice purse. And one thing we did do with the lateness of the announcement of the race, we did make it a 9-point show. I didn't want to affect our season championship event at Tri-City Motor Speedway, which is a Saturday previous to this race. So we did that, and that Tri-City race is a 2,000 to win show on that Saturday. So I think we're going to have a lot of guys double dipping. I know Dane Nida and a lot of the Stiers cars are planning on coming over and doing both shows already, and that's just the beginning of what I'm sure will be a lot of names starting to call and sniff around and ask what the deal is, what the rules are, and what the tire rules are. It's a standard sod rules race, our tire, as far as right rear goes and all that. So you're right, there's going to be a lot of guys calling and interested. I haven't heard yet, but I know I will be here soon, and that's what's kind of cool. And they're working on a couple things to get a special guest or two in here, and that's why it's kind of on a Tuesday. And officially, we do have Wednesday as a rain date as well. So that's one of the bits of good news about the whole deal.
Now, because this is a non-points race, are we going to see qualifying, or are you guys going to run your standard passing point program?
No, we're going to run our standard passing point system. It's totally the sod way of doing things. The fact it's non-points, it's had to do with the fact that we've been announcing our season championship as being in Tri-City the entire year since we announced our schedule in February. And I didn't feel it was fair to all of a sudden in August tell the guys, hey, by the way, you got another race, you got to run for points, you better figure out how you're going to do it in your budget. And plus, with the high-paying event that it is, I didn't want it where it would hurt our normal points guys that would, you know, be running all year long, and all of a sudden they're going to get scooped by when a bunch of, you know, invaders come in from Knoxville or wherever they're going to come from to compete in this show. So, but I still know that a lot of my guys are excited about the opportunity to run Forever Berlin, and here's their opportunity to do so. And, of course, I've got a long history at that racetrack as well, so it's pretty exciting all together that we're going to get the run there. And Engine Pro reached out to me today, and they are very, very excited. They were in a race there because obviously our sponsorship with Engine Pro, and they're based in Grand Rapids, so that even added to the whole deal and make it even that much more positive.
And we're real excited about it too. Of course, that Monday, I think I see a big TJ preview show on a Monday coming up right before that. But really yeah. Exciting news, Mike. And what other details might people want to know about the show?
Well, one thing is obviously you can check out some of the story. We put a press release together. It's out on SprintsOnDirt.com, and I'm sure BerlinRaceway.com sent it out as well, as I know it went over all of our media. Ticket information and such, you could probably reach out to Berlin Raceway. Check out their website at BerlinRaceway.com if you're looking in grabbing tickets. I know they've got a whole month worth of dirt racing. I know they've got the Dirt Late Models, the World Outlaws back again, and it's just going to be an incredible event, and we'll be, as more information comes to be, we'll keep things going on SprintsOnDirt.com, and of course, TJ, you're good help with that, getting the news out, so we'll continue to let people know what's happening, and when the phone starts ringing with people asking about the show, we'll spread the word, but we're pumped about it. I mean, we still got a good wrap-up to our season going. Last weekend, we had a couple good shows, and our points races tightened up a little bit between Daggett and Dahlman, so we're excited about finishing up our year. And then, obviously, this is kind of the cherry on top with the whole Berlin deal. So, really pumps it up. So, I'm really proud of the schedule this year. We added more higher-paying races than we have in many past years. So, we're excited about that. And to be able to pull the Berlin thing off as well, this kind of adds to what's going to be a heck of a September in a way. Our kind of our own little month of money with a lot less zeros attached to it. But with the Schweiken, Tri-City, and Berlin there in a couple of weeks, there's a nice couple of checks people could chase and cash in. So looking forward to it.
And, of course, our listeners here at racesontheweb.com, Labor Day weekend, will be able to listen to you here as well. So it should be a neat deal.
Absolutely. Winston and Crystal coming up in 2 weeks. We actually get a weekend off this weekend, the rest up, cut the grass, whatever the case may be, before we get back at it. But yeah, we're looking forward to it. People aren't familiar with Berlin. It's just under a half mile. Kind of a circular racetrack, not really a true oval with straightaways. So it's one of the we're very unique shaped racetracks in the country, and it's got quite the history of 60 plus years of racing and the home of Johnny Benson and many, many others. So check it out. You're not going to want to miss it. Believe you me, it's going to be kind of a historic night for us, and we're looking forward to it.
How fast do you think that place is going to be? It's pretty zippy on a weekly
basis. Yeah, I mean, Auto Value is running there in the 13s or whatever, and that's 410s with on the asphalt. So we could be in the 13-14 second bracket, I gotta believe. It's all gonna matter what the dirt's doing, what the clay's doing. Obviously they're gonna be running on it for a couple of days, and the World Outlaw Late Miles will be running on it Saturday night, so they're gonna pound the snot out of it. And I don't know how much is getting cut up after that, but I do know they hired a dirt track specialist coming in from upstate New York that runs a dirt track out east, and he's been working on a track prep for this track for the last year, and he's coming back this year, so track conditions could be even a little bit better than last year. Not that they were horrible last year, but that's the good news. So I think it'll be a nice racy track. I don't think it's going to be Kokomo or Bloomington, but I think it'll be a nice smooth racetrack with plenty of bite and definitely plenty of width. That's a good thing. We're going to have 2-3 grooves there with no problem.
It's a Tuesday night in the fall, and your races are going to start slimming down at that point. It's going to be one of the last big races of the year.
All your race chasers out there, I'm sure, circling on the calendar, thought there's no way a show in Michigan on a Tuesday in September would ever be happening, so here's your opportunity. So, yeah, I got to believe we'll have people from all over the Midwest want to come to this show to watch it, let alone all the races that will be coming there. And I know they got a couple of support classes, but as I know Berlin, they'll be hustling that show through to get it done early and as quick as possible, because obviously a lot of us all have to work the next day, if not that day as well. So that's going to be one of those deals where we'll be hustling it through and put on a good program for everybody involved.
And I know you and I will appreciate the close drive home, because it's about...
No, the commute is going to be terrible, even closer for you than me, but yeah, absolutely, we're looking forward to that. And as I kind of teased Robert Heiskin, and we hope he's back for that show, so the crash show bad at Hartford. Robert Heiskin, people don't know, has been racing with Saad for 20-plus years. He lives in Marne. He literally could push his race car to the racetrack, probably. So I got to believe they're going to do their best to get back together to race at his home racetrack, so to speak. So that's one of the things we're looking forward to. And overall, it's just, like I say, a great finale to the 2013 season.
Well, Mike, I'm sure we'll be talking more as this leads into the event, of course, with the big preview show on Monday as well. Best of luck for the rest of the year, and look forward to being out there in September.
All right, man. We'll see you there.
All right, that's Mike Strievel from the Sprints on Dirt, and I can't tell you how pumped I am for this race. This could be the sleeper fall race of the year. We've already had some people sniffing around this thing unofficially with us. No names I can release yet, but let's just say there are a few of them in Iowa with me, and it's really, really impressive who's kind of taking a look at this thing going, 5,000 to win, what's it like, where's it at, you know, because it's a question mark for a lot of the dirt sprint car guys. They've never even laid eyes on the place before. I'm really excited about this. Of course, we're going to do a big preview show the Monday before. We're still working out details on that. We might even go remote on that site, go out someplace and have a nice little live show somewhere where we can all maybe have a few beverages and some some food and have a good time. So that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com. I want to thank all of my guests, Damian Gardner, Brian Gerster, and Mike Strievel, for joining us tonight. We'll do it again at 8 o'clock Monday next week. Thank you and good night.